This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Diabetes and Health News channels. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Juan Dominguez-Bandala, PhD, Director of Stem Cell Development and Translational Research at the Diabetes Research Institute of the University of Miami. The DRI is one of the foremost worldwide centers in diabetes research. Dr. Dominguez-Bandala, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you're more than welcome, and the pleasure is certainly ours. So for starters, tell us, what is type 1 diabetes for those that aren't familiar?
Well, type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease, but it attacks the cells of the pancreas that make insulin. It's important to know what insulin is and what cells make it. Insulin is a hormone that helps the sugar that we take in our food get inside the cells of the body. And the cells need that sugar in order to get energy. And so what happens with type 1 diabetes is that the body thinks that the beta cells that make insulin are a foreign entity, so it kills them. It is an autoimmune disease, as I mentioned earlier, and it usually happens early in life, and that's why it is also called juvenile diabetes. It is a much more severe condition than type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is a condition that arises when the cells of the body that respond to insulin become resistant to it, which means that the sugar cannot be transported into the cells very efficiently. But you can usually manage type 2 diabetes very well with diet and exercise. But again, type 1 diabetes is a completely different disease in as much as it's autoimmune. So unless you correct that underlying disorder that you have, the autoimmunity, these patients will require exogenous insulin or external insulin administration for life. They need insulin to survive, and it's estimated that we have between 2 and 3 million people with type 1 diabetes just in the United States.
And a fine explanation there. Now, also, is it related to type 2 diabetes?
Right. So type 2 diabetes, as I mentioned before, it's a condition that happens when the cells of the body don't respond to insulin very well. And when that happens, sugar levels rise in the blood. This is common to both diseases, type 1 and type 2 diabetes. And there are many complications that derive from this situation. First, when the cells cannot get the energy they need from the sugar, they have to resort to other forms of fuel that can be toxic. And second, the beta cells of the pancreas have to make more insulin to compensate. And as a result, they may get into overdrive and die. And in this case, patients, even if they are type 2 diabetics, they may require external insulin. And third, when you have high sugar levels in the bloodstream, and that happens over a period of many years, that can result in vascular damage, and that may eventually lead to kidney problems, amputations, and even blindness. So the thing with type 2 diabetes is normally associated with age and obesity, and that's why it's said that you can control it with changes in lifestyle and diet. And there's approximately 30 million people with type 2 diabetes just in the United States. But type 1 diabetes, even though it has the same manifestations in terms of high sugar levels, it's an autoimmune disease again, and therefore you don't have beta cells, so you don't have any insulin at all. These patients depend on insulin just to survive.
Now, there may be an overlap here, but is there any treatment for type 1 or type 2? I think you mentioned that having a healthier diet could help cure type 2 diabetes. Get into that a little further.
So for type 2 diabetes, there's medication that improves the ability of insulin to do its job, which is to take sugar into the cell. But the good news is that for the most part, it can be managed with diet and exercise. You need only external insulin in the most severe cases. In type 1 diabetic patients, the situation is different because they need chronic insulin administration to survive because their bodies don't make it. The problem is that when you have to have insulin given, too much or too little can harm you. The beta cells of the pancreas, when you have a healthy pancreas, are very well tuned to the needs of the body, so that only the amount of insulin that is needed is produced. But when you have type 1 diabetes, you don't have beta cells. So they have to inject insulin into themselves, and if they inject too little insulin, the sugar levels will remain very high, so that's not good. If they inject too much, the sugar levels may go very low and drop to a point where the cells don't have any glucose. And this is a condition called hypoglycemia, and the patients may pass out and even die unless sugar is immediately given to them. So that's why type 1 diabetes requires constant monitoring of sugar levels. Patients do it by finger pricking several times a day. They check their sugar levels in the blood, and it's very difficult to escape from the complications in the long term. There have been, in the last decade, many advances in technology to the point that patients now have the option to have a pump that delivers insulin based on the readings of a sugar sensor that is implanted under the skin. And this is, in fact, very convenient for parents who have small kids with diabetes because they can have their sugar levels sent to them in real time to their cell phones, and they can be more in control. But it's not easy to live with type 1 diabetes, and this is not a cure. These treatments are actually that, a treatment. Before the discovery of insulin in the 1920s, when people were able to purify that and give it to patients, when you had type 1 diabetes, you just died because, it happened early in life, and you didn't control your sugar levels, and these people died for the most time without offspring. So insulin has saved millions of lives. But not even with insulin or the most recent technological advances that I mentioned, that's considered a cure. The cells of a healthy pancreas, the beta cells, are continuously sensing sugar levels and making more or less depending on how much is needed. But artificial sensors, the ones that you have now today to sense your sugar levels, are nowhere as accurate or respond as fast as true beta cells. In fact, you have to replace them very often because they go bad. So even with the best possible control, sugar levels in patients go up and down multiple times a day. And years of that up and down lead to many complications. The most dangerous one, as we said before, is hypoglycemia, because too little sugar levels in the blood depletes the sugar from the bloodstream, and therefore the cells don't have enough food, and you can pass out while you're driving, or even worse, when you're sleeping and you're not aware of it.
Most helpful information today. We are joined by Dr. Juan Dominguez Bandala, PhD, Director of Stem Cell Development and Translational Research at the Diabetes Research Institute of the University of Miami, here on eHealth Radio's Diabetes and Health News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Dr. Dominguez Bandala, are any one of these treatments mentioned a cure?
Well, any cure that we can think of for type 1 diabetes has to address two critical aspects of the disease. First, you have to address the underlying cause of the disease, which is the autoimmune disorder. So the goal here is to restore the balance of the immune system so that it doesn't keep attacking the cells that make insulin. And you can say this, and of course it sounds easier said than done, because after all, restoring the balance of the immune system is the key to curing many other diseases, including cancer. But in theory, if you transplanted the bone marrow of a healthy donor to a type 1 diabetic patient, you could correct the problem of autoimmunity. The problem with bone marrow transplantation is that it's a very risky procedure, and it has a high mortality rate. You can do it for leukemia because your choices there are very limited. But diabetes, after all, is a chronic disease that you can manage the best that you can for many decades. So the research in this area has been focused not on replacing the whole immune system by doing a bone marrow transplant, but trying to fix the patient's immune system. And how do we do that? Well, over the past 20 years, we have made tremendous progress in how autoimmune diabetes develops. And now we have a very good idea of the branches of the immune system that we need to suppress and the ones that we actually need to boost in order to restore this balance. So this fine-tuning, if you will, of the immune system is at the core of all the new therapies that we are trying to develop. For instance, very recently, the FDA approved a new clinical trial to be conducted here at the Diabetes Research Institute for early-onset type 1 diabetic patients, where we'll give the patients five different drugs that are designed to do just that, boost the branch of the immune system that protects the beta cells and suppress these immune cells that kill them. So we are very hopeful that this kind of intervention may eventually stop autoimmunity in its tracks. But the caveat here is that even if we are successful in doing this, even if we restore the balance of the immune system, this would only work for early onset patients where you still have some residual beta cells. But if you have had diabetes for a long time, your beta cells are probably gone. So we'll need another intervention to replenish them. And that's what I'm working on mostly, which is called the cell supply part of the problem.
Lastly, what progress has been made towards a cure? I'm sure our listeners want to know where we stand with that.
So in addition to stop the or restore the balance of the immune system, we need to replace the beta cells that have been lost. And our center has been a pioneer in what we call islet transplantation. This is a procedure by which we can extract the beta cells that make insulin from a cadaveric donor and then place them into a patient with type 1 diabetes. Every time we get an organ, we process the organ and extract the cells, which are normally clustered in a small aggregates that we call islets. So we can put these islets that make insulin into patients, and they no longer require insulin. It's been a life-changing therapy for them. But the problem with this approach is that first they need immune suppression because you're transplanting cells from a donor, a different donor, and otherwise they will be rejected. And suppressing the immune system is never a good thing because, the islets may survive, but it brings about many other complications, including higher incidence of infections and even cancer. So that's one problem. And the other problem, and this is a more pressing one, is that we get only a handful of organs for islet transplantation every year. We have 3 million people with type 1 diabetes just in the United States. So clearly there's a huge gap between the availability of islets, what we can offer, and the number of people who could benefit from this therapy. So we and others have been working on the stem cells to address the supply problem. Some stem cells, as you know, have the ability to multiply almost in an unlimited manner, so you can grow billions of them in a matter of days. Once you have enough cells, you can educate them to become the cell type of your choice, and in this case, it will be insulin-producing cells. There's already a clinical trial going on here in the States that's looking at human embryo stem cells for type 1 diabetes. In this particular trial, the cells are transplanted inside a small device, which is the size of a credit card, that is designed to protect them against the attack of the immune system. So we are eager to see how that clinical trial goes. But in the meantime, our team here at the Diabetes Research Institute, what we are doing here is we are pursuing a different approach. We have discovered that the pancreas contains already a population of stem cells with the ability to give rise to new islets, to new cells that make insulin. But these cells, the stem cells, need to be awakened. We have found that one drug that is already approved by four other conditions, this drug can do just that, awaken the cells that can give rise to new beta cells. We first tested this in a petri dish where we cultured cells of a human pancreas, exposed them to this drug, and then new islets started to appear everywhere. But then we went ahead and injected this drug into diabetic mice that didn't have any remaining beta cells. And after just 2 weeks of treatment, we looked into the pancreas of these animals and saw a multitude of new islets growing inside. So now all our efforts are focused on taking this drug to the clinic for this application. The caveat here, and it's an important one, is that this wouldn't work alone unless we also do something at the same time to suppress autoimmunity, because then I will be regenerating those cells, but the immune system will be killing them again. So we envision this approach as a part of a combination therapy where we address both issues at the same time. For instance, the clinical trial I mentioned before, where we're going to give the patients five different drugs to restore the immune balance, we may also give our drug, in addition to those five, to induce the regeneration of beta cells. So if we are successful, that kind of approach may start looking very much like a cure.
And that's certainly what we want to hear. And thanks for all the information and for visiting with us here today. It has been most informative. In conclusion, is there any closing thoughts, a takeaway, or a tip here on the way out?
Well, we've been discussing the potential of stem cells for nearly 20 years now, and many people, understandably so, are starting to get tired about promises of cures or this and that being around the corner. So we have to be very cautious with our promises, and I will not put a date, as many people ask me to do, to find a cure for type 1 diabetes. But what I can say as someone who has been working on this field for 20 years is that most of the pieces seem to be finally falling in place. I think that we are finally reaching a critical mass of knowledge that allows everybody to be very optimistic about the next clinical trials. I don't think a cure will happen at once. A cure will probably come in steps. Before we get there, we'll see interventions that are not a cure but will improve tremendously the quality of life of these patients. You can imagine, for instance, a patient that has to come every 6 months to the doctor's office to get a patch of stem cells to control sugar levels. That's not a cure because you still have to have come back every 6 months, but who wouldn't sign up for that as opposed to pricking your fingers several times a day and injecting yourself with insulin? So this is something that's actually realistic to expect within the next 10 years. And that's why I believe that a cure will be a logical continuation of everything that we are doing now rather than a sudden breakthrough. So I just want to finish by encouraging you, the listeners, to visit our website. We are at www.diabetesresearch.org, and there they can learn more about the science and how to help make it happen.
Well, Dr. Dominguez-Bendal, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you. Really informative, and we really have appreciated your time spent with us here today. Continued success to you, and again, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
And you're more than welcome, and the pleasure's certainly been ours. We've been speaking with Dr. Juan Dominguez-Bendal, PhD, Director of Stem Cell Development and Translational Research at the Diabetes Research Institute of the University of Miami. And for more information, simply visit diabetesresearch.org. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Diabetes and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit ehealthradionetwork.com.